Make you say, ah, oh, na-na-na-na. Peter Burns, Katie George here on the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts. Everybody appearing via the Shell Pinzor Performance Line. Soccer is back on ESPN Plus. Series A, FA Cup, MLS, and more. Original series, studio shows, the complete 30 for 30 documentary library are great. Stream soccer from the best leagues and tournaments around the world. All in HD. The beautiful game lives on ESPN Plus. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. Katie George, SportsCenter update. Let's roll.
Major League Baseball and the MLB Players Association agreed Thursday to expand the playoffs from 10 teams to 16 teams for the 2020 postseason. The faculty of the University of Kentucky's African American and African Studies program has asked UK President Eli Capilouto to change the name of Rupp Arena because the legendary basketball coach's name has come to stand for racism and exclusion and alienates black students, fans, and attendees. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Joining us right now is a man that can save my life and hopefully get me some sleep. Michael Collins, a.k.a. he's laughing already, the host of Maddie and the Caddy podcast. Collins.
If you count on me to save your life, you're going to die, bro. I don't know what to tell you. I love you, but I don't know how I'm going to save your life. Tell me what to do, man.
Okay, so, Katie, if you want to set this up, because it was a stupid bet, and I hate
it
gambling,
wasn't a
I'm not
bet.
Gambling anymore.
So, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. So, basically, every Sunday morning, Peter and I embark upon a draft of sorts on any given topic, and the ante was raised this past weekend because we were both sure that we were going to win the draft. It was greatest TV shows of all times. Whoever came in a lower place was going to have to pay the other $50. Well, then some other ideas got bounced around. That's it. Exactly. That's what was said. That's what was said originally. So our producer, Mike A., said, whoever comes in a lower place has to do 2.5 minutes of stand-up comedy on next week's show. And so, look.
Collins, this has kept me up. Every single night I wake up in the middle of the night and I try to work out material and it all bombs. I need 2.5 minutes. Like, give me some parameters of what I got to do to make this
work. Wait, did you just say, am I now your lead writer for your comedy set?
He needs help. Yes.
Look, it's just like in golf when they say every bet is won and lost on the first tee before you hit a shot. The fact that you thought, you know what? I can do 2.5 minutes of stand-up comedy. How hard could it be? Like, it's only 2.5 minutes. You who know, someone who is in media, how slowly those seconds tick, how slowly that can go when things are not going well. What in the world made you think that this was going to be an okay bet to do and that you'll just figure it out?
Collins, hold on. It was not me that wanted this bet. It was Mike A., our producer, who brought it up, saying, hey, no, the loser has to do this. So we all both agreed to it. At this point, you're not helping, by the way. I had you on here at ESPN Radio to actually help me.
I agreed to it. Like, it was like, yeah, we'll do it that way. Like, that's not okay. Look,
but he was so sure, Michael, that he was going to win and beat me. And that's now here we are, and he can't sleep. And we need you to give him some kind of advice going into Sunday's show for 2.5 minutes.
For 2.5, for 2.5 here of content, do I need 3 jokes? Do I need 4? Like, what do I need to do?
Keep going. Like, here's the deal. Like, I don't, what kind of material are you going to do? Like, are you going to do knock-knock jokes? Like, are you doing dad jokes? What's your style? Are you going to be, like, my style on stage was high-energy observational. So I'm a storyteller. Like, I never got on stage and just told jokes. I just talked about whatever happened in my life. And the fact that I could do it in a way that people thought it was funny made it seem like it was really easy to do. But there were plenty of times when you're working out material, especially new stuff, when it's not going to go well at first, you know? But I'll tell you a quick story. I'm caddying for Chris Couch, and I'm performing in Virginia Beach, Virginia. We're playing in a web.com event back in the day. It was a nationwide tour back then. And I'm performing at the Comedy Zone of Virginia Beach. And my buddy, John Elliott, Jumbo, he's like, all he's dreamed about, too, has been, I want to be a stand-up comedian. So I called the comedy. He was like, man, let me do 5 minutes. I'm like, all right, cool. called the comedy club up Monday. Shows are starting Tuesday. I'm like, hey, my guy wants to come do a guest set. Can we get him up to do 5 minutes? He wants to try. They're like, sure, when do you want him? I go, we'll have him do Friday's first show. You know, early set in between the feature act and me. So it goes the MC, feature does 25 to 30. John would get up and do 5 minutes. And then even if he bombed, then I could get back up and, you know, save the show, right? So I tell him on Tuesday morning, hey, man, you're in. Friday, first show, you're doing 5 minutes. This dude's had all week, right? And he has been thinking about this his whole life. He comes to me Thursday after he's done playing a real round in professional golf and goes, I can't do it. I go, what are you talking about? What's the matter? He goes, I don't even know what I shot today. Because all I've been thinking about is I'm going to go on stage and I'm going to bomb in front of all these people. And I can't do 5 minutes. There's no way. I'm not going to do it. I'm out. I'm like, it's tomorrow, man. What are you? You're not going to do it? No. I can't do it. Like, the number one fear of most people is public speaking. And now you're doing it in the hardest. One of the hardest things any comedian will tell you to do, one of the hardest things to do is to try and do stand-up without an audience. Here's a great example for you, too. One of the greatest golf comedies, one of the greatest comedies of all time, Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the great characters, hey, looks better on you, though. Hey, how you get a bowl of soup with that hat, right? Rodney Dangerfield had never done a movie before. And he's doing Caddyshack, and he's thinking that he's dying. He thinks he's bombing. Why? Because everyone has to stay quiet while he's delivering the punchline. But for a comedian, that's death. You don't want quiet. And they had to keep reassuring him, no, man, it's great. You're killing it. And he goes, well, no one's laughing. Well, they're not supposed to laugh when you do a movie. Now, you're doing it. You're going to do comedy on radio with audience.
Oh, God. Colin,
we're talking to Michael Collins here, host of Maddie and the Caddy podcast.
Doesn't he have to go because none of this is
making
me feel
good
about this?
No, hold on. He's done stand-up before, stand-up comedy. That's why we're having him on.
20 years I did stand-up. You know what I never did? I never did a set on radio. Never. But look, here's the good news.
I'm giddy.
I have good news. When you do comedy on radio, you won't know if you're bombing. But that also just means you aren't going to know. Pauses matter in comedy. But on radio, you know what I mean? Man, you don't have to pause and wait for the laughter because it ain't coming.
Michael, like this, let me ask you this. We've been deciding as a crew, there's four of us who have mics. Do we allow our mics to stay up? So if he is funny and he nails a punchline, like we can laugh, or should we keep our mics down so he has no idea if he's bombing or not?
No, keep your mics down. You don't want to, because here's the problem. The problem is he's going to know the difference between when you're laughing because it's funny and when you're doing the sympathy laugh because you love knowing he's bombing.
But wouldn't that get in his head more if we're giving him the sympathy laugh?
Nah, because here's what you, Peter, listen, this is what you do. Just, you need to have 4 to 5 stories that you have told amongst your friends that is funny, that they've laughed at. And not the stories that, like, you get the sympathy laugh. Not the ones where they go, oh, yeah, that's really funny. Like, no, it's not. It's not. Because there's plenty of people that are like that. All my friends tell me I'm funny. No, you're not funny. They're just being polite. But you got to have 3 to 5 solid, fun stories that have happened in your life that you can tell now, and don't wait for the laugh. Just tell the story, and then at the end of the story, take a breath, and then here's the next thing that happens. Because you don't even have time. I can't teach you how to do segues in 3 minutes. Like this, that's something that takes years of practice to do, man.
Okay. It's going to be 2.5 minutes of absolute torture. We'll do it Sunday. Michael Collins, thank you for not helping me feel any better about this whole loss.
Thank you, Michael.
What time 9:30. Is this happening?
9:30.
Set your alarm, buddy.
Yeah, man. You know what? Okay. How about this? All right, I'm going to wake up. Or this is because it's you and because we're teammates. I will set my alarm for like 8:45, 9 o'clock.
Oh God.
And then I'm gonna call, or y'all call me, and I want you to do during a commercial, just give me a quick run through and I'll tweak some stuff for you. All
That's
right?
It. It is happening.
And then
it
I wanna listen. I gotta hear this. And I gotta call some other comedian buddies of mine that I'm not gonna name and tell them, hey man, check this out.
Michael Collins, everybody, host of Maddie and the Caddy podcast. Disaster coming up on Sunday. Thank you, Michael.
Sorry, man. I'll do what I can for you, but I promise.
There it is. Michael Collins joining us. Thank you very much. I thought Dustin May, right, gets the start for the Dodgers last night because Clayton Kershaw back is out. And like he probably had to be nervous, like young kid getting an opportunity to get his start. Guarantee you not as nervous. I don't think if he was as nervous as I am for this bit on Sunday. It is actually Dari Noka, and I tried to spell it 15 different times from Dari Mel on Saturdays, and I still have it wrong on my phone. And he's been my co-host on SEC Network for the last, 7 years now? Peter Burns, Katie George here, Levitard Show with Stu Gatz, always presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they can save you hundreds on your car insurance. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Katie, we did see Juan Soto, right before opening day, news was breaking yesterday. Me and Alyssa Lang were doing radio where Juan Soto tested positive 2 days prior to the Nats opening up the season against the Yankees, pulled out of the lineup. Here's what their manager, David Martinez, had to say about Soto's positive test.
The good news is asymptomatic. He feels fine. Hopefully we can get him back as soon as possible. My thing is, I had to have conversations with our players, let them know what was going on, and just to stay positive and tell them that we're going to get through this. This is kind of the life we live in right now. We're trying to play baseball through a pandemic, and unfortunately these are the things that might happen. So our guys are good. They're going to be ready to play. They're going to stay positive. And they said they're going to try to pick up Juan tonight and go from there. So I just hope that Juan, like I said, doesn't feel ill through all this and that he gets back as soon as possible.
Now, they want him back as soon as possible because, remember, in a 60-game season, every game pretty much counts 2.7 games, right, if you do the math. So it was an absolute sprint, Katie. But I think in a way that this could be the positive for Major League Baseball, right? Like, everyone wanted to have the headline and put it on Twitter and social media. Oh, look at baseball. Juan Soto out at 34 homers last year, 110 ribbies, 21-year-old kid. He's got COVID, and every week he's going to spread it. Now baseball is going to shut down. I think there are some people that actually want that because they get this appetite for bad news and breaking news. But in a way, Katie, I feel like this could be a good thing for Major League Baseball. And what I mean by that is, like, hey, if it was a positive and they were able to do the contact tracing and it worked, the protocols clearly worked, if none of the Nationals come back testing positive after this, this can show this is the reality, right? Like, sports is going to have positive tests. It's not the end of the world. You move on to the next day. You have more games. Life goes on.
Yeah, it's inevitable, right? Especially if your positive test being inevitable. If you're not in a bubble scenario like the MLB, like the NFL is eventually going to embark upon. Like, to me, it's interesting, though, Pete, that he tests positive 2 days prior to, and then he takes two rapid result tests, instant tests, and both of them come back negative within the 2 days. And so that leads me to believe, okay, was it out of his system that quickly, or are the instant tests, which the MLB has said they're allowed to, teams are allowed to use these tests in certain situations, this being one of them, are those accurate? And there's been a lot of reports all over the place about instant test accuracy. And so my fear would be that, say, they don't pull him and they allow him to go back in because he produces those two negative tests from the rapid test. Then what if he gives it to one of his teammates and the contact tracing gets out of control? Then you have yourself a really bad situation. But it seems in this case, they nipped it in the bud. They kept him away from other people, and he's not going to infect a lot of people, which is best case scenario.
Or was he infected at all? I mean, that's part of the issue, right? I mean, if you're going to have these two rapid tests and both of them are negative, I would imagine, hey, if you did one and you're like, I think these things are pretty reliable, but if you do two, I would imagine, hey, that's a, even, you know, exponentially helps your chances of it actually being negative. So perhaps if out of all the national players that were tested 2 days ago, he was the only one. Mm-hmm. So could that have been a positive that he had had earlier this year and it somehow tested positive? I mean, I don't know the science behind it, but at any point, the Nationals then have to look at it and go, okay, Major League Baseball wants us to do this. But at some point, we're only as good as the testing reliability and sure. it being 100% correct. And who's to say that the test that he got, the first one that put a positive, was actually real? I mean, that's going to be the hard part of navigating this season, not only for Major League Baseball, but frankly for everybody.
Well, and I think you're going to see some guys be the victim of inaccurate tests, and you're not going to know because you have to be cautious and you have to take necessary steps to keep everyone in your clubhouse safe. And so Juan Soto might have to sit out, and he never really actually was positive and a carrier of the virus. So MLB protocol at this point states that you have to produce two negative tests 24 hours apart. So the fact that, yes, yesterday he produced these multiple instant results that were negative, technically based on MLB's protocol, they have to be 24 hours apart. And then for 72 hours, he can't show any symptoms or produce a fever or temperature.
And he was asymptomatic, right? Davey Martinez had said that. Mike Rizzo, the GM of the Nats, said he's fine. We're just making sure he's okay. But because of our protocols that we're following, but right now, if he tests negative 24 hours apart and does these rapid result tests again, there's going to be a lot of clubs around Major League Baseball in this sprint to 60 games are going to say, I don't know if I trust our testing. I don't know if I trust it right now, because we just think that all of a sudden within 24 hours, Juan Soto beat coronavirus. He was like, COVID-19, boom, you're gone. No, I mean, like, that's going to be some major issues that all the sports are going to have to deal with.
Yeah, because that's when the danger comes in, right? Because you're going to have teams saying, hey, well, I don't trust this. Like, do we really know if he's positive? He's asymptomatic. He feels fine. He's produced a rapid instant negative, whatever. I think we should put him back out there because every single game matters. I mean, Billy did a phenomenal job breaking down the math behind it and the percentages. So all of these games matter. Like, if you lose off the top, I mean, you might as well not be in the running. I mean, the expanded playoffs certainly helps. But I could see guys and clubs saying, hey, let's toe the line. We think he's fine. What if he's not really fine? And then you've right. got a couple guys that come back positive. Now, granted, they are testing frequently. So you should be able to catch it with how often every other day that they're testing. But this is where it gets dicey when people aren't trusting the results because they're getting such contradictory information back.
Well, and now you carry it on to not only Major League Baseball, but college football right now is watching every single day how Major League Baseball is doing their situation. Because you can't really compare college football to the NBA, right? Because the NBA is actually living in a bubble over in Disney. Major League Baseball is not really doing that. And so there is a lot of college commissioner or league commissioners right now of their conferences that are looking at Major League Baseball going, these are the issues that you're going to have, and can we combat it coming up? Chris Cody actually had a decent idea. We're going to bring that up coming up here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Peter Burns and Katie George here. By the way, that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise on ESPN Radio. Welcome back. Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts, Peter Burns, Katie George. You can follow us on Twitter, Katie_George05, myself at Peter Burns, ESPN. Hearing that rejoin made me think of Le Batard's interview with Jeff Passan. When was the Elmo Jeff Passan interview? When was that? Was that this year, guys, or was that last year? I think that was because that was Manny Machado in the contract. So February, March, Billy?
It's become an every time he's on thing now. Like, I don't remember how we discovered it. It was probably like 5 or 6 times ago that he was on. But now every time he's on, the poor guy can't get on and talk baseball without Dan or Stu Gotts or whoever making him talk like Elmo.
Have you heard this, Katie? Have you heard the Jeff Passan Elmo?
I have not, sadly, but now I'm very intrigued.
I see Billy furiously typing. I feel like we're going to have to get that. So I want to effort that, because if you've never had an opportunity, you need to right now. By the way, SportsCenter update, Katie, while we're efforting. Go ahead.
Major League Baseball and the MLB Players Association agreed Thursday to expand the playoffs from 10 teams to 16 teams for the 2020 season. The faculty of the University of Kentucky's African American and Africana Studies program has asked UK President Eli Capilouto to change the name of Rupp Arena because the legendary basketball coach's name has come to stand for racism and exclusion and alienates black students, fans, and attendees. For all the latest headlines and information, tune to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
She's Katie George. I'm Peter Burns here. And the reason why I ask is we had Jeff Passan on yesterday talking about baseball opening day. Of course, you saw Yankees beat the Nats, and that game got rained out after six games. Gerrit Cole gets the win. Dr. Fauci threw out arguably one of the worst first pitches since 50 Cent. I mean, that thing was – it was not pretty. We were all pulling for him. It was not a good-looking first pitch. And then we saw Dodgers-Giants yesterday. Last night, Dodgers scored five in the seventh, and Kiki Hernandez was awesome. 4-5, ends up having five ribbies, and of course now the Dodgers taking a insurmountable 2.7 game lead, Billy, according to your math, on the way that the season works out. But, Chris, I asked you earlier today about putting together the show notes and how you actually put together a really good idea. And as a baseball fan growing up, I've kind of fallen in love out of love with the game, Katie. Now, were you a diehard baseball fan, like all in the George household? Was this?
No, we all played baseball, and I played softball for the longest time, but we are right down the street from Cincinnati and the Reds, but I would not say that we were diehard baseball fans in any capacity.
With that being said, I think there's a lot of people that have grown apart from America's pastime, whether it's just we live in an ADD society, we're not willing to give 4 hours on a day, it's 162 games, we figure, hey, you know what, we'll show up for the playoffs. Chris Cody, I'm digging your idea, and this is one you had, the 260-game seasons, or at least go ahead and do the math and do 81-game seasons and do two sprints at this point. That's actually one of the only few ideas that you've had on our show notes that I figure actually delivered, my friend.
I really thought you were going to go with if we could transform into any animal for this weekend.
Yeah, that's the good idea, the 260-game seasons?
Well, I'm thinking about it because you got the universal DH, you got all this three-batter minimum, but I'm like, you know what? I'm intrigued by every game actually matters. That's why I love college football, and I'm like, let's get, right now, that game last night, not having Juan Soto in for the Nats, and that made a difference at this point. And so, yes, I am involved in that. Plus, I knew that if I was asked if I could be any animal for the weekend, there goes the rest of the hour and a half show, especially with the Lebatard listeners, that we got no chance of lassoing this thing back if we ever start diving into that dumpster of a topic.
Well, you've already started it. So if you could transform into any animal for an entire weekend, which would you choose? Your safety is not guaranteed. So, for example, would you want to be an ant? I don't know. But, Chris, there is a disclaimer about this, correct?
Yes. Also, on top of that, you have your own brain. So it's not like if you choose to be a zebra, you automatically have the zebra's mind and you know what your daily, routine is. You are Peter Burns' brain in the zebra. So you better do your research on the front end.
So it's a squirrel, basically.
What do I need to do?
You should be a squirrel.
Right.
Because that is the most compatible brain.
Do you see what I'm trying to do? I tried to just have a baseball segment. I want the suits over at ESPN in Bristol right now in the Disney Corporation to realize I, Peter Burns, tried to say, you know what? Let's talk about this 60-game season. Let's talk about opening day. And yeah, you bring something like this and you reel me in, Katie George.
We talked about baseball.
I think I'm just jumping in. I'm going with the whale, okay? The blue whale, okay? I want to check out the ocean, and I want to feel safe doing it. And I don't know if there's maybe a big great white shark. I don't know. What's the safest animal to be
in the
ocean? Tony, that's what I'm saying. If I want to be in the ocean, Tony, what animal should I be going with? You seem to be
Yes, I do disagree. The only animal you can go with is the top apex predator of the ocean, which is an orca, a.k.a. killer whale. That would be my choice if I had a sea animal that I was going to be for the weekend. If I had a land animal, I'd be a Kodiak grizzly bear.
You have given this a lot more thought than I actually
have notes, actually. I know what I want to be.
We have opening day. There's all of these games being played, and we're like, we're doing all this show prep before the show. We're getting ready. We can talk about Jamal Adams and the Jets and how he just ripped into Adam Gase. We can talk about everything that's going on. Tampa Bay Rays just decide to say, it's a great day for opening day. Let's get the killers of Breonna Taylor. All of this stuff, and we've got notes on what animals. What now? I'm intrigued.
I have notes on the other things, too.
But now I'm actually more intrigued about the animal, Katie George.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I think so. Okay, so you wanted to be a blue whale. Have you switched, Chris?
I'm sticking with blue whale.
And AC wants to be a killer whale. So I'm going to stick kind of in the sea realm. But my animal choice is 50 land, 50 sea. I want to be a penguin. And here's why.
Oh, wow.
Here's why. Pudgy penguins make great mates. That's where, like, being pudgy is actually valued in that world, and I'm all here for it. Mm-hmm. They can swim 10 miles per hour. They can dive 800 feet deep.
She legitimately
Their coat can actually act as camouflage, because I knew Chris was going to say, but penguins are actually, like, lower on the food chain. I understand that, but I think for a weekend, I could gamble with that just so I could, like, swim, I could waddle around, and I could, like, slide on my stomach. It just looks so much fun when they're sliding around on their stomachs.
Slide?
Yeah, I think I would have, like, a really good time.
I'm stuck on pudgy. Aren't flamingos generally skinny? I don't remember ever seeing
flamingo. Who brought up a flamingo? Why are
it's
you bringing
penguin.
In a flamingo into a penguin
about?
Conversation?
Penguin, you need to listen
about?
To the show there, Chris.
Oh, I thought you said flamingo. You had me Googling pudgy flamingo. Anyways, back to you guys. Sorry.
No, so basically, who was the DH last night for... Here, you were talking about my baseball notes?
Yes, Pablo
Sandoval. The flamingo would be the Hunter Pence of the world.
That's fair.
The Pablos of the world and the Penguin Nation. Just so,
healthy,
okay?
Husky.
Look how I just tied sports into this deep conversation.
That is well done.
Thank you.
What would Clayton Kershaw be being on the DL? Is he the wounded hyena? That's the wounded giraffe. Maybe that's what it is. Tall Clayton Kershaw.
That's good. He's got flow, so we got to take
got the
that
flow?
Into account.
Yes, Billy.
In this game, do you get to choose, like, what stage of life you are on this animal? Because if it's for a weekend, I think I'd be a baby kangaroo and just hang out, like, in my mom's, like, kangaroo pouch.
Yeah, but you're so...
But I have my kangaroo abilities also.
But you have Billy's brain all of a sudden, and this mother kangaroo is going to be expecting you to do the normal things, and you're just Billy in there, so you don't know what you're supposed to do.
Roy's,
I think there's very
Roy's
little expectations of baby kangaroos.
Roy's scratching his head. Roy, do you not like this topic?
No, I was just my head was itching to do it, and I just cracked my head.
Okay,
Pete,
well,
do you have an answer? I mean, like, I have notes. I can keep
going
about penguin
facts. I thought about koala
facts.
Simply because a koala, all it does is just relax. It eats eucalyptus leaves. And I watched a documentary once about koalas and eucalyptus leaves, and basically I was real bored in college, and it was like 3 a.m. in the morning. We might have been drinking and then going to Taco Bell. But basically what happens is a koala eats eucalyptus leaves and is just – basically drunk and high all day long. And that's what it does. And so just a koala is just chill at that point. But then you also have to deal with the issues of in Australia. They've been having like really bad forest fires over there and stuff like that. So the koala,
could you imagine running away drunk and high? Like that would be really
difficult.
Bad.
And the percentage of chlamydia in koalas is like 80%. So therefore, I have ruled out koalas. I feel like a bald eagle is a good. Oh, Billy, do you have a chlamydia take or you have a koala take? Which one?
Well, you'd only have to deal with it for a weekend, so it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
That's true. You get to come back from it.
Roy, save us here, because right now I'm going with AC.
What do you
AC
mean, save us?
Orca.
You're the one. You're the one who took it there.
Roy,
I'm going with a pelican. You know, you get to fly around, you soar, you see what's below you, you get to dive into the ocean. And
I feel like you just made
fish.
That one up. I don't feel like you gave that one a lot of thought. I feel like that was a, like, I love lamp. Like, Brick, are you just naming things in the room?
I was. Not I love lamp, but, you know, I did make that up.
This also goes back to, Roy, a pelican knows exactly where to dive into the ocean, at what angle, at what time they see the fish. You're just Roy in this pelican's body. You're not going to know where to dive.
You're just
Roy
the
look
pelican.
Like the, you're going to be the worst pelican ever.
I could practice.
See, I think you could waddle around as a penguin not knowing, and like you could figure it out. You know, like if I'm Katie in the pudgy penguin body, like it's not that big of an issue. But flying might be an issue if you don't know what you're doing.
You are now going to be forever known as Katie the Pudgy Penguin. Billy, put it on the poll on the Levitard Twitter account. We need to get down to what the real answer is here from the Levitard and Stu Gatz army. Peter Burns, Katie George here. Levitard show is Stu Gatz. Peter Burns, Katie George in for Levitard and Stu Gatz, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. 30 for 30 podcast in association with ESPNW presents its latest season, Heavy Metals Inside the Karoly Gymnastics Empire. Tells the seven-part series of Bella and Marta Karoly, coaches who brought women's gymnastics into the U.S. with absolute dominance in the world stage, but also enabled its greatest tragedy. Listen to all seven episodes of Heavy Metals Inside the Karoly Gymnastics Empire on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Peter Burns, Katie George here. News breaking, Katie. The Braves are going to be without both of their catchers today for their opening day game. Tyler Flowers and Travis Darno. How do we pronounce it? $2 in?
They're giving you the thumbs up. Darno.
Darno. Darno.
Got it. Both tested negative for COVID-19, but both have symptoms and are back in Atlanta again. This is coming from Davey O'Brien and says both have tested negative, but they're going to be without the or not playing on the team. Alex Jackson. Already the Braves are having to go to, in essence, the what? Taxi squad and on opening day. This goes to show you how weird this entire season of Major League Baseball is going to be, Katie.
Yeah, it is, because even though they produce negative tests, which everyone would think is good news, if that was 2 days ago, like we saw with the Nationals and Juan Soto, the average person, based on myself having conversations with different health professionals, the average person, it takes 5 to 7 days to exhibit symptoms from when you actually came in contact with somebody with the virus and may have contracted it. So just because they're showing a negative test, say 2 days ago, they could now be in with that 4, 5, 6 day period of when they came in contact with somebody who had it, and now they're showing exhibits. So if they do have it, the next test should test positive. But if not, maybe this is just a fluke for both of them. They have some symptoms, and hopefully they go away and they get over it quickly. But it's the next test that's going to be really important for them to show if they have it or not. And that's the whole thing about this, Pete. Like, it's so confusing. What you hear from one person to the next is something totally different. And I feel for the medical world and the medical professionals, because they're learning something new every single day. And I can't imagine the frustration that you would have not knowing and not having a handle on this new virus. But that, unfortunately, is where we're at.
Well, and I think we live in this binary world where we figure that everything is one or zero, right? That way everything is
black or
is
white.
Yes or no, black or white, that you have to have this absolute tism, and it's kind of ruining us, right? Because in essence, this story, the Braves not being able to use their two catchers, and then Juan Soto testing positive and then two negatives, this is part of the process, right? And it's going to be first, everyone's going to say, hey, listen, why are we doing this? You know, there is no playbook on all of this. They're writing the playbook as they go. And I guess credit to the Braves right now, because at this point, even though both of these catchers have tested negative, they could go to Major League Baseball and go, listen, I mean, via your protocols right now, these guys are negative. Like, start starting catcher and is our backup catcher. Like, we're good. We'll be fine with them, but they are pulling them out. And I think that's going to come down to all of the coaches, all of the players, is how much these players are going and these teams are going to police themselves. Because I think it's easy at the start of the season, but when you're vying for a playoff spot, how often does that change the formula in your mind of how you're going to handle it? In theory, it shouldn't, Katie, but I'm not sure that's how sports works.
No, not at all, especially when you have a 60-game season. I mean, obviously, it's nice to know right now they're doing the necessary job, because think about it. They pull them out. This is going to hurt for a couple of games, maybe even a week, which matters. But what if they didn't pull them out and they were able to spread it within the team? Think about week two through maybe seven, and you don't have a full roster at full strength. Like, that's problematic in the current situation, given how this is a sprint and not a normal marathon.
This is going to be an intriguing 48, 72 hours, not only on the play on the field, but the testing that goes on and off for Major League Baseball and pretty much for all sports. Katie George, Peter Burns, in on the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz.